Hey SEC fans, this is Saturday Down South senior national columnist Connor O'Gara. I had a special guest join me on the SDS podcast. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl CEO and president Gary Stokin called in to talk about the huge opener between Alabama and Florida State. That game, of course, is part of the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, which will take place in the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. I talked to Gary about what it took to get the Alabama-Florida State matchup set up. That was a pretty interesting story that actually goes back further than people might realize. We also talked about the Chick-fil-A kickoff game being the first real neutral site headliner series. Gary went into detail about why certain matchups happen the way that they do, and he also discussed how much the college football playoff has increased interest from teams across the country. Anyway, have a listen. It's good stuff. I'll start off with just kind of the obvious is that people, once they see a big headliner game, when they see them open the season now, I think they just kind of assume that they come together magically. And I know that that's absolutely not the case. Take me through what that process is like, getting two teams from two different conferences to agree to do this thing.
Yeah, it is a process. Certainly, it's kind of a Rubik's Cube that you talk to a lot of coaches and ADs to find out, A, who they want to play, who they don't want to play, B, what years they have available and what they don't have available. And then you got to, once you get some consensus that they have an availability, you've got to make a match on the other side. So it takes a lot of conversations. And then once you get even to the philosophical agreement that they want to play in that year and they would play that team, then you have to work through the financial negotiations. So and then you have the TV on top of that. So there's a lot of hurdles to cross. But like this year, and really all the 10 years that we've been doing this, it's been well worth it for the fans, for the teams, for the coaches, the players, the schools, you know, our local fans here in Atlanta. And there's no downside. It's a win-win-win for everybody involved.
I'll ask the obvious question. This year will be Alabama's fifth time playing in this game. They've played in this game more than anybody else. Why do y'all love Bama so much?
Well, it goes back really to 2000 when Nick Saban and I met when he was at LSU. He had called. It's the only time I got a call from a coach to say, hey, you know, we need to play in your game. It's the best bowl game we can get into, when they were at LSU. And so I went down and met with Nick and met with Chancellor Emmert, who is now the president of the NCAA, was chancellor of LSU at the time, and Charlie Weems, who was their chair of their board. Never met with Joe Dean, the AD, which is highly unusual. I told Nick that, you know, they had to do a couple of things. One was sell tickets, and two was he had to really promote the game and be at the luncheons and press conferences, et cetera. And he said, we'll do them both. And I went back to my committee, and it was my second year. I told him, we're taking LSU. There was some hesitancy from my committee because LSU had just been here in 1996, I believe. And prior to Nick Saban getting there, they really didn't do a good job of selling tickets or promoting the game with their coach, doing things. And so there was some real hesitancy on our committee's part. And I finally said, well, I've talked with the coach and the chancellor and the chair of the board, and I believe in them, and we're going to go with them. And so they said, okay, it's on you. So I stuck my neck out in my second year. And the first year, we went with LSU, and the first day of ticket sales, they sold 16,421 tickets, which was a record for first day ticket sales to a bowl game. There are teams that don't sell near that nowadays, and that was just their first day of sales. Anyway, they came up, they won the game. Josh Reed caught a touchdown from Rohan Davey, and LSU beat Georgia Tech, who was ranked 14th. And Nick had a successful recruiting season that year, which was the recruits that won the 2003 championship game. So obviously he had good feelings about us. And I called him when we were starting the Chick-fil-A kickoff game in 08. And I said, I've got Clemson, who's going to be top 10. Do you want to come over and play? And he said, yeah, we need to play in a game like this because we, you know, they were coming off like a 7-6 season the year before his first year. And he thought recruiting was important in Georgia and, you know, getting exposure in a game like this. And what he knew that I didn't know was that the intensity level of the offseason workouts and the focus the team would take would be really at a high level. And they came over here. They won 34-10, I believe, over number 9 Clemson. And they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And Nick would tell you that that was the start of the run they've been on ever since. So you know, we have a good personal relationship, but he also thinks that playing in a game like this is important for a lot of reasons for his team.
So essentially what you're saying is that the Chick-fil-A kickoff game was the start of Alabama's dynasty, and you guys should be able to take responsible for that. You guys should be fully responsible for that, right?
Well, we don't take responsibility, but Nick has attributed that win and that game as being you know, the reason they've gone on the run they've gone. Because the next year, in 09, we had him back because he was successful and wanted to play. And they were number 5, and Virginia Tech was number 7. And they wound up beating Virginia Tech, and they won the national championship that year. So Nick's been very successful in Atlanta in the Dome. And, you know, this is a new stadium, so we'll see. You know, there's a new test, obviously, with Florida State, number 2. Or number 3, I guess. We're waiting for the AP poll, but you know, it'll be the greatest opener of all time in the 149-year history of college football. So it's going to be a great atmosphere. A new stadium opening, game day here. You know, 1 against number 2. Both teams, the coaches are good friends. Grew up in West Virginia together. Served on the same staff. Won a national championship. There's so many bylines. National TV at prime time. It's just going to be an unbelievable atmosphere, and we're just humbly proud to be a part of it.
Take me back to when talks for that game first began, because it's one thing for coaches to have a relationship, but it's another for them to want to face off and face off in what's become the biggest preseason opening game, or the biggest season opening game that there is in the sport. And it's become, you know, such a big event in itself. What was that process like getting Florida State and Alabama to kind of just come to terms with this? When did that all begin?
Well, as we talked previously, we had a good relationship with Nick Saban and Alabama, and they had some success coming here. They enjoyed the experience, and we had them in 13 and 14. And after the 13th game, because we were now being copied by Dallas and Houston and Charlotte and some other cities, you had to get further out to schedule the good teams that you wanted and the good matchups. So in 13, I got out in front with Nick and said, you know, when can you come back to play? And 17 was the first time they had opened in their schedule. And I said, great, you know, let me go to work on getting you a great matchup. And because he always likes to play a tough opponent, I give him all the credit in the world that he's willing to play in a game like this the first game of the year. There's not a lot of coaches that would do that. Subsequently, I had been talking to Jimbo Fisher when he first got the job at Florida State. I think it was 9 or 10. I said, Jimbo, you know, we're starting this Chick-fil-A kickoff game in 08. It was very successful. You know, we'd like to have Florida State at some time when you have an opening in your schedule. He said, Gary, let me get my system in place. Let me get my recruits in, put my processes in, and, you know, we'd love to play at some point. So talking to him and Monk Bonasort and Stan Wilcox, Monk just passed away this past year, was a great guy, Pittsburgh guy like I am. We had talked about, you know, playing in 13 after they won the championship game. I said, Jimbo, hey, you know, I got Alabama in 2017. How'd you like to match up against them? And he said, I think we're ready. So, you know, it goes back till 2013 when we scheduled this game with Alabama and Florida State. So, but give Nick and give Jimbo credit. They want to play and compete at the highest level, and they know to do that, you've got to compete against the best, and they're right now two of the best coaches, two of the best programs. In the last 10 years, Alabama has 86 wins and Florida State 78. Last 6 years, Florida State's won every one of its openers. Last 16 years, Alabama has. So something's got to give. And it's just great for college football. It's great for the College Football Playoff Committee because it's going to provide a major data point. And there's not a lot of downside for the two schools if they go on and do what they're supposed to do in their conference. If they win their conference and they lose this game, they're going to get credit for a quote-unquote good loss, which was unheard of in the BCS era. But in the CFP era, you get more credit for that with the committee than a computer would give you. So there's no downside.
That's something I wanted to talk to you about. You bring up a very good point about this all changing sort of in the college football playoff era, in that teams want that big headline opening game because they know that one loss isn't going to cost them a chance at a national championship. Since you've seen the back end of this whole thing develop and the way that this has all worked, I'm sure that there are some teams that wouldn't touch a big headliner game with a 10-foot pole. But now I imagine that college football wide, that those talks have changed so much for you. What has the interest level been like from a national standpoint since the beginning of the playoff era to say, hey, we got to get in this game?
Well, you're exactly right, Connor. The committee has let it be known that you as an AD and a coach, you really only control three if you're in the Pac-12, Big 10 or Big 12, three non-conference games. And if you're in the ACC and SEC, you really have four non-conference games to schedule because they only have eight conference games. And it's what you do with that non-conference schedule that is going to either help or hurt you during the process of the CFP selection committee at the end of the year. So, it's important that you do schedule a major Power Five game. And again, it's, I guess it was 2 years ago, I think, maybe 3 years ago at the beginning. I mean, Baylor got hurt because their non-conference schedule wasn't very good. To further answer your question moving forward, you know, we talked to Jen Cohen and Chris Peterson because they had been getting, detrimental comments about their scheduling and their strength of schedule. And even last year, it was, you know, cutting it close onto whether they were going to get in or not, even though they had a great year because their non-conference schedule wasn't very difficult. And, you know, Chris has played in our Chick-fil-A kickoff game in the past when he was at Boise. And you remember at Boise, they played everybody. And Chris has that same mentality. If we're going to compete at the highest level, we need to play against the best and learn, you know, what we need to do to get to that level. And so next year we'll open up with Auburn and Washington, which will be two top 10 teams, playing in our Chick-fil-A kickoff game. So we've got a lot of coaches and ADs that are now calling us because we're in the CFP era and, you know, they know they need to schedule a tougher non-conference schedule. And if they can do it at the beginning of the season, where everybody talks. I mean, everybody has talked about this Florida State-Alabama game since the Clemson-Alabama national championship game because people, they can't wait for the beginning of the season. Everybody has renewed interest. Everybody thinks they're going to the playoff. So they talk about it all spring, all winter, all summer long, and it's great exposure, let alone the amount of money that we pay out. The opportunity for the kids to compete at the highest level on a primetime national TV game, the opportunity for the fans to attend the game. We give them enough tickets, and if they can't make the game, they're able to watch a huge game on national TV the first weekend instead of, you know, a nondescript, game that they're probably going to win 55-0 and be over by halftime. So, this game has grown to the point now where, you know, there are people calling us for later years now that they want to get in this and play in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game.
What's the toughest part about the selection process when you decide, okay, we can break away from ACC versus SEC, even though that the markets are there and these two conferences have had such great headliner matchups in this game. What's the criteria for saying, okay, a team like Washington, we know that they're going to sell tickets. We know that they're going to be able to have fans here. What's that like on your end to kind of, you know, go through the process of evaluating what a worthy candidate looks like? Because I imagine it does have to be a worthy candidate. It can't just be, you know, you get a middle of the pack, you know, Big 12 or Pac 12 team and say, oh yeah, you're going to be fine. I imagine there's a process that you guys go through to kind of, you know, decide what's it going to take to get in this thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I keep all the recruiting information looking forward as to what team, you know, recruit wise may have signed two or three good classes in a row, not necessarily one class or one player, but, you know, consistency in top 20 recruiting classes. You know, it's tougher to do with the Big 12, the Big 10, and the Pac-12 because they play 9 conference games. And in some years, when they play 4 conference home games, they have to take those other 3 non-conference games and they have to schedule them at home because as an AD, 7 games gets you your budget. And so the years when they play 5 conference games at home, that's the one year that they potentially have to play, you know, a neutral site game like our game is. And then you get into the whole rationale of, okay, if you play in our game 1 year, it screws up the home and home potential that you might have. And I'm the biggest believer in intersectional home and home games. I think that's the tradition of college football, and that's what has built college football. But if you can go neutral, because there's so many cities now that have followed our lead, that you could do neutral, you're going to make money both years. You're going to schedule tough games, which is going to help you with the CFP, versus a home and home where when you go away that second year after you've played a home game the first year, you don't make any money. So these neutral games are financial windfalls. So if you can go back-to-back in them, you know, or consistently build them in to a home and home schedule as well, you got a chance to make some good money and to get another data point for the CFP, help you recruiting, you know, some areas where, you know, you may recruit like Texas and Georgia and Florida. So there's a whole strategy there from the AD and coach side. From our side, it's, hey, you know, we want to get ACC, SEC when we can because it's been successful to us. We've got huge alumni bases here. They need 4 non-conference games, so it's a little easier to schedule them. And that was our bread and butter with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl until we went into the CFP. We'll occasionally go outside of that when we get a Washington or Chris Peterson, who we know, you know, or another school that, you know, makes some sense to us from a brand wise. I will tell you, I had the USC Alabama. That was my concept to schedule. I had Auburn, Oregon, which was my concept to schedule. Had Auburn and had Alabama ready, but Oregon and USC didn't want to come all the way across country and play in what they felt was going to be a home game for Alabama and Auburn. So what did they do? They agreed to play Midway in Dallas. And so Dallas was the benefactor of that. So we get real strategic in, you know, who we're going to invite. And the Monday night games, there again, there's something else in the Rubik's Cube. The ACC has a contract with ESPN that gives them the exclusive window on primetime on Monday night. So if you're going to play that Monday night game, you got to be an ACC team on one side. And that's why we have Georgia Tech this year playing, you know, Tennessee. In 20, we've got Virginia playing Georgia. And then in 21, you know, we're looking to potentially schedule 2 games as well. So it's competitive now because all the cities are doing it. So you got to get further out in advance. You got to have good relationships and you got to financially make it worth their while.
are you calling teams 5-6 years out to make something happen, or is it kind of just we see what's in their schedule and we have teams that we know we want to work with and we kind of work around their schedule to find a date that works? Or are you just saying, hey, this 2022 matchup, this is what we want to go for? Like, how does that all that whole process work?
We're doing all three. We're looking strategically at putting a matchup together. We're looking at what teams have contacted us and want to play in a certain year. And then we're also, talking to people that, may not have played in our kickoff game or a neutral game and seeing if they may have some interest. We're close on a game for 24 already. We're negotiating a game in 23 and 22. And we're negotiating game in 21. So, we're 4, 5, 6, 7 years out now.
For you, I know you want to see this thing continue to grow and develop, and there's so much more competition now than when you guys started this thing 10 years ago. Can it get bigger than what it is now? I mean, the scenario that you guys have worked out perfectly to get Florida State and Alabama. Coming into this game, you know, as you said, this is probably the biggest opener in the history of college football. I mean, how can this thing potentially get bigger than what you guys are at right now?
Yeah, there's a couple things. Like for the Georgia Tech Tennessee game, which is a sleeper game that, it's not being talked about, but it's sold out. Great old SEC ACC rivalry. We're doing things like we're honoring Bobby Dodd. Because we organize and manage the Dodd Trophy, which is the preeminent college coach of the year award. And Bobby Dodd was an All-American quarterback at Tennessee and a national championship coach at Georgia Tech. So part of our rationale of putting those two together was to promote the Dodd Trophy as well. He's one of only three people that are inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame as a player and a coach. We're adding things to the weekend. We went from one game to two games. We went from, two games to having a tailgate, Home Depot tailgate town outside, to having a Coca-Cola fan zone with 35,000 people go through it in the Congress Center. We're tying in now the College Football Hall of Fame. And then you get the right games. We've had game day 4 of the 10 years that we've been doing this. So what we strive to do in the beginning when we created this was to create a college football signature bowl type event on the front side of the season to kick off the season. And that's how we came up with the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. We wanted to tie the Hall of Fame in. And we really, our vision was to make Atlanta the college football capital. And so we looked at this kickoff game as being a signature event. Secondly, we went and moved the College Football Hall of Fame and relocated it to Atlanta. And we put the first $5 million into it. And then we've elevated the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl to a New Year's Six game, where last year we hosted, the semifinals. We, along with the Falcons, the Sports Council, the ACVB, and the Commerce Center, went after the national championship game, and we'll host that together with CFP and our partners here in Atlanta at the end of this year. So all these things, the vision that we've had since 2008, are really coming into fruition now. And, we'll continue to give back to college football in a way that's meaningful and respectful to the game. And if you do that, the game will take care of itself, and your organization will be rewarded and elevated appropriately. And that's humbly really why we've done this. We saw an opportunity to have all the ingredients with fan base, with corporate support like Chick-fil-A and Home Depot and Kia and Delta and Napa and, Coca-Cola. You turn on a college football game on a weekend, you're going to see all these Atlanta companies advertising in it. Because they're passionate about college football. Our fan base is just as passionate. And so it took an organization to put all those ingredients together, put them in a recipe to, make Atlanta the college football capital.
Well, Gary, I know you're busy. You got big, big, big things coming up ahead in a couple of weeks here. On behalf of college football fans, as kind of the guy who helped get this thing off the ground and, you know, replaced all these sleeper matchups that we could have had on opening weekend, thank you for what you guys have been able to do for the game and what you guys are going to continue to do for the game. I think college football is so much better for it, and we're spoiled as fans to get to see all these great opening week matchups.
Well, as our title partner says so appropriately, it's my pleasure, and we're passionate about college football, and giving back to it is the respect that it's owed, and we're happy to be a part of it. So I appreciate your nice compliment. That's very nice of you to say that, and I'll pass that along to our team as well. That'll keep them going over the next 3 weeks here as we grind to get these two games in.
Amen, amen. College football can't come soon enough. Gary, I really appreciate your time. I know you got a million things going on, but great stuff. And we'll be in touch. I hope everything goes off just as well as you guys could have drawn it up.
Great. Thanks, Connor. I appreciate the time. I appreciate you guys having us.
Once again, I really want to thank Gary for taking some time to talk with us. He has so much on his plate now with this Alabama-Florida State matchup just around the corner. College football is just around the corner. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe to Saturday Down South podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Do all those fun things. So for Connor O'Gara with Saturday Down South, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.